This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 40.
The issue is most people get hung up in the fast coin. Most people look at it and say, like, if they would have gotten a condo, they say, like, man, do I want to get $350 a month? Yawn, yawn. Or do I want to get $17,000 right now? And they're already thinking about the next diamond rings they're buying, the next Rolex watch they're buying.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey there, my friends, Alex Pardo. If this is your first time joining the Flip Empire Show, I want to welcome you. I think you're really going to enjoy the show moving forward. And if you're back and you've been listening to some of the previous episodes, thank you for being back here. I don't take it lightly that you've chosen to invest your time here listening to the show. And we're here to over-deliver and provide as much content and much practical advice and guidance as possible. I know there's a lot of information out there. And what we've really decided to do here is try to focus on what really works in today's market and what are some of the strategies that you need to have in your business and some of the mindset that you really need to adopt in order to be successful and achieve true wealth. And that's actually a perfect segue into today's masterclass, because I have a good friend of mine, Jack Bosch, on the line. Jack is someone I've known for several years now, and he's an expert in several things. He's actually got a very unique story. He's someone that came to the United States from Germany, I believe, in the mid to late 90s. And, you know, we kind of have a similar story in that we're both in the corporate world. You know, we're in the rat race. And it's extremely impressive how he's been able to transition out of the corporate world, build several successful businesses. But what's great about Jack and what we're going to be focusing today's masterclass content on is the topic of passive income and forever cash. And that's actually a term and a phrase that he came up with. He wrote a book not too long ago called Forever Cash. And at the end of the show, we're actually gonna let you know where you can grab that for free. But you know, I got so much positive feedback over the masterclass we did with Rob Swanson. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, just go to flipempire.com/episode14. And we talked a lot about residual income versus passive. And what I want to do here with Jack is actually take that a step further. And I know a lot of you listening are at a point where you're either looking to get started in real estate, or you're already wholesaling and you're already doing some deals, but there might be a challenge as to how do you take the money you make and actually put it to work for you, as opposed to having to rely on that transactional income. And, you know, when it comes to wealth and financial freedom, there's two parts of the equation, which I know Jack is going to touch on. There's making the money, which is what so many people focus on. But most people kind of put part two on the back burner, which is actually keeping the money and having that money grow for you. So, Jack, man, having said that, I'm excited to have you on here, man. And I'm looking forward to what we're going to talk about here.
I'm excited too. I'm excited to always talk to you here, Alex. We've known each other for years, and I've always followed your path. And yeah, there's a big difference between making money and actually creating wealth. And most people don't get the difference.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, that's actually, I think, a perfect place to start here. I kind of touched on a little bit of your story, but talk to us. Give us, I guess, like a bird's eye view of what your business looks like today. And then what we'll do is we'll kind of reverse engineer the process. And what I really want to get down to is, how do you get from the point of generating income, particularly transactional income? You know, so a lot of people that are listening in are wholesaling real estate, which is great. But what I really want to get into is taking that money and then building that forever cash that you talk about in the book.
Right. So yeah, my business is, I'm in multiple areas, mostly around real estate. Number one, as you said, I came to Germany, came from Germany in 1997, had a job, then worked, then started in real estate. So fast forward 14 years right now, or 15 years, whatever it is, I have a active real estate business. I buy and sell. Actually, my niche is land, but I think we'll probably cover that even later on or in a different podcast or so. My niche is I wholesale land, just other people like other people wholesale houses. Then I also wholesale houses. For the last probably 5 years or so, I've been doing houses too. Not so many, more land than houses, but always doing also some houses. Then I also have an educational company that teaches people what we do. So I have the seminars and home study courses and things like that. And then also I'm actually in the process of now buying an apartment complex in Louisiana. Awesome. An apartment complex. Actually just pretty much wrapped up right now. And then I also, what else do I have? But these are, let's what I want to call it, except for the apartment complex, these are what I call my transactional businesses, right? I do these businesses to make money, right? And then what I take was I take all the money that I make, or almost all the money that I make, and I then invest in passive income. Basically, passive income, long-term hold income, and that's what the apartment complex is for. That's what I have a portfolio of. There are several dozen free and clear rental properties that I own. I have a car repair shop that I own that all brings me in cash flow. So basically, I'm at a point of my life where early on, 10, 15 years ago, I would just flip and I would make money and I would go and buy the big house and have a good time and so on and so forth. Now I'm a little bit more in a phase where I'm looking at it's like, I want the money that I make to last for my lifetime and for my daughter's lifetime and perhaps even for her daughter's lifetime, right?
Yep.
So, and I want to enjoy it at the same time. So my goals have changed, and with my goals, my way of investing has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's actually one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on is because, you know, you have that mindset where it's not just about, you know, making money and like, you know, you talked a little bit about how several of your business are transactional based, but really the next part is, well, how do you kind of get out of the entrepreneur's rat race, which is just focusing on the transactional income, like wholesaling, for example. And now how do you multiply, you know, your dollars so that you're not necessarily trading, you know, your time for that transactional income. So I think, you know, I touched on it at the top of the show. One of the challenges that I think a lot of people out there are having right now is that their business is generating enough money to pay for their lifestyle, to pay for their business overhead, but they're struggling gaining that traction that it takes to then build up enough capital to then put that into, you know, an asset that's going to provide that passive income. How do you bridge the gap from, you know, say somebody that's doing a couple of deals a month to then generating enough revenue in their business so that they can put that into something that's going to provide that passive and residual income?
All right. So great question. So the answer might be a little bit boring. No, just kidding. No, but it's actually it's exciting if you focus on it and if you know what it means for you and your life. So here's the thing. In my book, I describe there's three kinds of cash. There's one-time cash, there's temporary cash, and there's forever cash. Now, these are made-up names, but these are names that kind of developed in our family because my wife and I work together, and we literally look at cash in this way. And so if you have a $100 bill and you have $300 bills, and they all look the same. They all have the same president on there. They all have the same color. They all buy you the same thing. But I believe there's a severe difference, a big difference between the value of each of these $100 bills based on how they have been created. Because the first one is, let's say, for one-time cash. If you create $100 with one-time cash, means you mowed the neighbor's lawn, you did the paper route, or you went to a job and worked 8 hours and got $100 or $1,000, whatever the number is, right? So I'm just going to use it as a placeholder, $100, whatever it is. And you get paid one time, and if the next day you don't go out there and you go mow another people's lawn, another lawn, or go to another job, or do another flip for that matter, where you don't get 100, you might get 10,000, but still, if you don't do that, the payment stops, the money stops. So that $100 or 1,000 or 10,000, whatever it is, if it only comes in once, it's one-time cash. And therefore, it's, in a sense, a transactional business because you have to go for that sale again and again and again, or for that flip again and again and again in order to pay the bill. It's the hunter-gatherer mentality, right? You go out there, you hunt something, you bring it home. Once it's eaten up, you got to go hunt again.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one-time cash. That's unfortunately the reality most people live in. Now, there's different levels of one-time cash. There is like mowing the lawn and get $20 for it, or doing a flip where you get $10,000. That's obviously two different qualities of one-time cash. But in principle, you can't retire on either one of them. Mm-hmm. The next part is the middle one is called the temporary cash. Temporary cash is if you work once and you get paid for a while. So if you take private money for a rehab, let's say, I know you mainly wholesale, but if you're somebody who does a rehab, if they get private money, you know what? They're paying to the lender that is temporary cash. Or if you take money and lend it out to somebody else, you give them $100,000. They pay you 10% interest. After a year, you get $110,000 back, or you get, let's say, you get $1,000 a month, or whatever it is, 12%. You get $1,000 a month, and after a year, you get your principal back. So now you've gotten back your $100,000 plus $12,000 in interest. And now after a year, you have to go lend the money back out. But during that year, you got income from that money without doing anything anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what I call temporary cash. And temporary cash is cool. And we do a lot of temporary cash by selling our land with seller financing. We might buy a $30,000 piece of land for $5,000, sell it for $20,000, do seller financing, get a $5,000 down payment, and get $400 a month for the next 8 years. Now, that's $400 is cash flow. Seller financing a house is cash flow, and so on and so forth. But it's temporary cash because at some point of time, that thing will be paid off, and you have to then start again. Right? The third way of generating cash is what I call forever cash. So again, that third $100, $1,000, $10,000, whatever it is, it's been generated by you working once, but now it came in as basically, for lack of a better word, mailbox money.
Yeah.
And you're getting this mailbox money, but mailbox money that never ends. And we're both in real estate. So, you know, I've done over I ended up 4,000 deals since I started. I've learned over time that while the one-time cash is exciting and the one-time cash makes you the bunch of money that allows you to go out to Hawaii and do like a $20,000, $30,000 vacation and so on, it's what really brings you ultimate lifetime freedom is forever cash.
That's right.
So at some point of time in our career, we therefore switched over. We were always focused on one-time cash and temporary cash. We built our temporary cash off our seller financing notes in our land business up to literally $100,000 a month. But then what actually happened is we actually used a lot of that also for overhead and for other things. And then we started realizing, my God, we're like squandering our financial future here. So what we did is we cut expenses. We had bought a big house, but we actually now use that money in that moment. And it was a good historical coincidence that when we realized that it was right when the housing market was down, we went on a buying spree of houses and we bought a ton of houses. And we continue to buy houses ever since. Now, we also flip houses. But now what we do, we shifted our focus. And in order to get out of the rat race, you got to focus on the passive income. Mm-hmm. So now we make money with these one-time flips of houses or land. We make money from our temporary cash flow from seller financing. And we take every dollar that we make in excess of what we need to live and so on. And we buy more cash flow houses with it. Now, some of these cash flow houses we find ourselves. It's our own wholesale deals, right? We do some wholesale deals, but now instead of wholesaling it, if it's a tremendous deal, like we found a condo that's worth $30,000, it's not in a good area, but it's not in a super bad area either. It has an HOA and this thing, and it's clean and so on and so forth. We bought this condo for $12,000. And all it needed was $1,500 in rehab. And we're like, looked at that, and we kept it instead of selling it for $25,000 or $30,000 and making like whatever that is, $13,000 to $17,000 on it. We ended up actually keeping it, and it rents for $550 right now.
Nice.
So minus HOA fee, minus property management, we're netting about $350 a month. But $350 a month on a $12,000 purchase is a pretty no-brainer deal, right?
Yep. Not to mention they're paying for your equity.
Yeah, we own it free and clear, but still, anyway. But yeah, well, in this case, But yeah, they're paying me back. Basically, I'm making $4,000 a year on this thing, and I paid $12,000. This thing is paid for in 3 years, and we bought it 3 years ago, so pretty much this year it paid for itself.
Yeah.
So other deals. So so on and so forth. So now everything we look at is as we do deals, even if we limit our expenses, we still go to Europe. We just spend a month in Europe, and we still go to Hawaii. We still do things like that. But we use our money to pay off our, for example, our debt on our house. So we own our house free and clear. And now our cash flow that we need for our life is not so extremely high. It's actually, we own our cars free and clear. We own our house free and clear. So we paid that off. But at the same time, we also went out and now for every deal, for every, let's say, 10 deals that we find, we'd keep one. And by keeping one, every single one of them on average is worth $600 in cash flow. Just in the last 3 months, we bought 7 houses using that method. And with those 7 houses, that's $3,500 a month in cash flow forever.
Yeah.
So now just the last thing that I want to say. The issue is most people get hung up in the fast coin. Most people look at it and say, like, if they would have gotten that condo, they say, like, man, do I want to get $350 a month, yawn, yawn, or do I want to get $17,000 right now? And they're already thinking about the next diamond rings they're buying, the next Rolex watch they're buying, and the next whatever they're buying. Mm-hmm. But remember, once that $17,000 is gone, you got to go out hunt again. Okay. If you keep it and you build up little $350, $500, $600, $700 cash flow streams, you have security and freedom over time as it builds up for life. And once you make that mental switch, every little one of these cash flow streams to me is much more exciting than a $20,000 profit.
Yeah, no. And I think, honestly, I've been guilty of that as well. You know, I've come across properties here in South Florida where, you know, we're looking at making 25, 30K on a quick wholesale assignment versus, you know, keeping that and making $500, $600, $700 a month. And I've been guilty of going for the quick cash. And so I think a lot of people find themselves, in that particular situation. And it's a matter of like what you just alluded to is having a mindset shift that it's not the $500, $600, $700 or even the $350 a month. It's accumulating those over time. And eventually you're going to get to a point where you're able to transition yourself out of that transactional income, right?
Exactly right. I mean, take 20 of these $700 pieces and you got a $14,000 a month.
Yeah, right.
Now, do another flip, do another few flips and pay off your debt. And then my question to most people listening is, can you live on $14,000 a month if you had no debt and you would owe nobody anything?
Yeah, well, most people would say yes.
And most people would say yes, exactly. And that's the thing. And that's only 20 houses at $700 a pop.
Yeah. Would you talked a little bit about, you know, how you own your house free and clear, you live debt free. And it's, I don't know if Jack, if you follow Dave Ramsey and kind of subscribe to that school of thought, I know that I resonate a lot with his teaching. Do you recommend that, in your opinion, that somebody focuses on becoming debt free? Let's say people have credit card debt, they have student loans, which you and I both know a lot of people do, I think 2/3 of Americans have a mortgage on their house. Do you recommend they focus first on becoming debt-free before they start either saving capital or leveraging financing to go get, to go put that money into assets that provide passive income? Or what's kind of, I guess, what's the first step? Is it first eliminating debt and then focusing on acquiring those assets, or?
Awesome question. I love Dave Ramsey, but I do not agree with a lot he says.
Okay.
No, I think his advice is spot on, and I resonate with a lot of things, but his audience is people that are, in a sense, financially not, you are financially very savvy, and I know, and so on. But a lot of people are like, his best customer, his best audience is somebody who is really in a deep, deep, deep financial hole.
Very
and
true.
If you're in a deep, deep, deep financial hole, the first thing you got to do is stop digging, right?
Yep. Right.
And get yourself out of the hole. But if you're not in a desperate debt hole, I do not agree with everything he says. For example, I do not agree with buying a car cash. Like if I, for example, I don't buy my cars cash. Now I pay them off over time, but I don't buy my cars cash because I look at it. I drive nice cars. I have a BMW X5 sitting out there. That car cost me, bought it 1 year old, cost like $60,000 when I bought it. Now I have a choice. I can pay $60,000, which I have in a bank account. I can afford paying for that car cash. I take $60,000 and pay for that house, for the car cash, or I can buy a house for $60,000 in a market like Tampa, Florida. Some places in Miami have those too, or wherever it is, in Omaha, Nebraska, in Kansas City, Missouri, or wherever you name it. There's plenty of places around the United States where you can get a house for $60,000. I just bought five of them in Omaha, Nebraska for an average of $56,000. And they rented $900 to $950 a piece. So they exist. So I would rather take the $60,000, buy myself a house that cash flows at $600 a month, and then go net after property management, repairs, property taxes, and everything, and so on. And I rather use the $600 a month to then lease myself or buy my. Actually, I'm not a big fan of leasing. But instead, then to buy myself a BMW X5 and then just have that monthly cash flow pay for the car in 5-6 years. And then I own the car free and clear because I like to drive my cars until they die. So so that's kind of my philosophy about it. But so therefore, no, I don't agree with that. I also don't think you should only focus on getting out of debt. Getting out of debt is cool. But I like to, the way I've done it, and I don't know if that's something everyone wants to follow, but it worked really well for us, is that of every deal that I did, I took a little bit of money and applied it to paying down debt. I put a little bit of money, put it into savings, so I could basically go and buy or portion into that what I call my seed money account, so I could build it up and then buy some investment properties from it. And I took some of the money and put it back into the business. And as this grew more and more and more, my debt was paid off, but also my passive income was starting to come in. And then, so you're basically playing offense and defense at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you're only playing defense, you still don't have offense. You still have nothing coming in once you're debt free.
Yeah. Right?
So I like playing both, which is just, and there's some tricks that I show in my book about that, like setting up a second bank account, particularly with a different bank. That's like on the other side of town, that where you automatically have put money in from every deal that you don't care. You can't just simply reach and so on. So you do little tricks to kind of protect yourself from yourself. And so you don't go use that money to spend it on something. And you can tell your bank certain ways that when a check comes in, take 20%, put it here, 20%, put it there, and 60% leave it in and so on. Mm-hmm. There's ways that you can do that with your banks. And it helps you. But overall, I don't think you should just focus on getting out of debt. You should focus on, I'm the one thing I don't like about Dave Ramsey is that he basically preaches to get out of debt by eating, I'm exaggerating a little bit, by eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
No, that's exactly right. I actually don't agree with that either. I'm totally with you there. Yeah, it's all about, you know, I think you can enjoy life, and that's, I think, where we part ways from the Dave Ramsey school of thought is that, you know, he teaches you don't see the inside of a restaurant if you're in debt. Like, you basically cut your lifestyle. You know, you don't leave your house. You basically, and I think you can still accomplishing, if you have debt that you want to pay down and you want to play offense, like Jack just talked about, I think you can still enjoy life within reason, obviously. I mean, you don't want to go crazy and you know, hogtie yourself, so to speak. But I think you can still enjoy life and at the same time play that offense and defense collectively.
Right, exactly. 100%. Yeah, that's the play that first.
Apply
a little bit to defense, but focus on my method. My philosophy in life is an expansionary philosophy. You don't get, yeah, you might get out of debt by skipping everything stuff, but then you're miserable, right? Right. You're debt-free and then you're miserable. You might save every penny, but then you're like Scrooge, right, at the end of the day. Who wants to be like Scrooge? Now, let's go get wealthy, but use the money to build wealth, pay off debt, and so on. So use your offense to take care of your defense.
Got it. So along those same lines, what's kind of your mentality. Would you advise if, let's say somebody's listening and you know, they've done some deals and they might do one, two, three, four deals a month, whatever it is, and they're generating some revenue and it's taking care of their lifestyle and it's taking care of their business overhead, et cetera. Is it a matter of, like you talked about, taking a certain percentage of each deal that they make and putting it aside in a savings account until you're able to build up maybe 40, 50, 60, 70 grand, whatever it might be, then put that into a single family rental property? Or do you, or would you advise go out and get private money, take on some debt, and maybe not use the 40, 50, 60 grand all on one property and kind of leverage it out over two, three, four properties? What's kind of your advice when it comes to that approach?
Well, really whatever works. I mean, back when we started out, we had the cash and it was a cash world. You needed to make cash offers. And then we basically just used our own cash. But then as soon as we ran out of cash, because we bought so many, we went to a private money company and we borrowed 50% of what our purchase price of our properties were. And we used that money plus additional funds that were coming in to keep buying. So we bought many more, and then at some point of time when prices rose too much, we stopped buying for a while, and then we focused on using that cash flow to pay that debt off. And then within 3 years, we had paid all that money off, and then we owned them all free and clear. But really, the answer, I would think it there's kind of two pieces. Now, if you have really good credit, there's programs out there of guys that do wholesale, turnkey houses, that they sell, that they hook you up with a good banker, that you can get up to 10 houses and so on. So if you get good credit and you're willing to go down the banking round, you can buy up to 10 rental houses with leverage and you only need to put 20% down. So you buy a $150,000 house, $100,000 house in all around the country with management and everything in place, and you might need $20,000 to $30,000 a house in order to buy those. So you can do that. Now, if you don't have good credit, that might not be an option. And in that case, you might be forced to just saving up to then buy one. I wouldn't necessarily go to private money because private money can be very expensive. But I would rather then go look for markets where you can buy properties fairly inexpensive and that are in good areas. Build some relationships with people around the country that are not going to screw you and so on. And then have them help you. And that's how I expanded out of my Phoenix, Arizona market where I live, where prices are sky high again now. I'm buying in other markets now where I have people on the ground that I know that I met over the years through networking group, to seminars I attended, to other places that I belong, that I can trust, that are finding me deals over there. And then I do my operations right here, wholesale operations, land operations and so on, but I buy where I can buy at the prices that make sense to me.
Yeah, I know that makes a lot of sense. So we'll get you out of here on this question, Jack. What advice would you give your 25-year-old self? So if you could kind of rewind the clock, however many years, what advice would you give the 25-year-old Jack Bosch?
That's a great point. Now, along the lines of what we're talking, there's a whole bunch of stuff I would tell that guy. But along the lines of what we're talking right now, I would ask. There's always a saying that's that the youth is wasted on the young. Because the young usually often they're just thinking about the girls and they're thinking about partying and they're thinking about that. And they're at the peak of their energy levels. They're at the peak of the things. I'm in my 40s now. I'm still doing well energy wise, but I mean, I had definitely more energy when I was in my 20s, no doubt about it.
Right.
So use the youth to get the financial limits out of your life, and think big. Don't think you're too young. Don't think you don't have enough experience. Nobody cares about your age. Nobody cares. Everyone just cares about what you do. So go out there and then don't fall necessarily. Have fun. I mean, go, if you want to have a Ferrari, go get a Ferrari or rent a Ferrari or something like that. But focus on the wealth, focus on the cash flow. If I would have done it at an earlier age, I mean, I was officially worth $1 million by age 34, but I didn't start my cash flow, my wealth building, my true forever cash until literally I was like probably 38 or 39. So I wasted a whole bunch of years in that process. And I'm really we're financially free right now just from our forever cash, just from the cash flow that comes in from all these different things. But I could have accomplished that by age 29, by age 30, if I would have started in my 20, when I was 25, right?
Yeah.
Now, and the beauty of being financially free is something that I've experienced now and a half for the last few years, is that you're no longer working for the money. You're no longer working to make an extra $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 deal. That is nice. You're going, but you're working for the fun. You're working for the impact. You're working for things. I'm talking to my wife right now about ways that we can reach out to the underprivileged youth here in Phoenix, Arizona, and perhaps start something where we teach them entrepreneurship, right? And we haven't really started that yet, so I can't take any credit for it yet. But that's something that I want to put out there. Something I want to do. I want to see if I can partner up with a few local people that are entrepreneurs, and then basically put together like a little entrepreneurs academy, which is free for the people that are underprivileged. And those are the things you can now focus on, because you don't have to go look out for the next deal to feed the family.
That's great, man. It's so funny that you said that, and we're going to wrap it up here in a quick minute. It's funny you said that. Did you get a chance to watch that video that went viral on Facebook? At least that's where I saw it, of Steve Harvey. It was kind of like a 5-minute spiel that he had on, you know, that people, when they're in their 20s, they have the most amount of energy, but they blow it on partying and just, you know, focusing on doing all the stuff that 20-year-olds do. But that's actually the time. So if you're listening in and you're in your 20s, that's the time that you really need to hustle and get some of these things in place, so that in your 30s, you're focusing on something different. And I think so many people blow their 20s. And by the time they get to their 30s, they realize that life is real. They have to have responsibilities. And then sometimes people kind of start behind the eight ball. But, you know, even if you're listening, and let's say you're in your 50s or your 60s, it's never too late. You know, like if you don't make a change now, the next 10 years, nothing's going to be different. So, you know,
the other part is, I did see that video, and Gary Vaynerchuk had a very similar video, completely different, but there was a similar message. And I've been saying that for a long time also, and so on. But the other thing is, if you're in your 50s and your 60s, don't despair, because it is shown. I'm 46 now. It is proven. We know that by the time that we are going to be in our 80s and 90s, our life expectancy is going to be close to 100 years.
Yeah.
So if you're in your 50s and 60s, you got another 20, 30 years of productive life in front of you. And more than anything, you got to make the money right now, so that, and build the wealth and build the cash flow right now, so that you still live in a decent life with some nice material benefits when you are in your 90s and so on. So don't forget about that. The urgency is even higher when you're in your 50s and so on. So don't forget about that. And you still got it. You just got to learn the tricks of the trade. And Alex, obviously, his podcast here can help you with that.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jack. So listen, guys, if you want to check out the book Forever Cash, all you got to do is cover the shipping and handling. If you go to forevercashbook.net. You can check it out. I have the PDF version here. It's about 190 pages. Fantastic content. A lot of great practical advice in there to help you get from, you know, basically to cover everything that we've covered here over the course of the last half hour. I definitely recommend it, especially if you find yourself in that rat race, whether you have a job or even if you have your own business, but you just find yourself stuck in that transactional income wheel. This is definitely one way to go from one-time cash, temporary cash, to forever cash, which is what Jack has been talking about. So yeah, Jack, man, I don't know if you have anything to add or any like parting words here before we hop off.
The thing is that it comes down to is I said that mind switch and that mind shift from going from just income to forever cash, and that's the biggest piece, because once you shift your mind to celebrate every time you get another income source for life, then instead of celebrating when you make another 10K, now 10Ks are great, 20Ks, 30Ks, I love those kind of checks too, but now my focus is is the cash flow houses. That's why I'm buying an apartment, 93 unit apartment building, because it cash flows massively, right? That's why I'm going to buy a bunch more of these apartment buildings. And even there, our investors make good interest on it and so on. So it's my entire focus has shifted. That doesn't mean I do anything different on the flipping side. What I do different is how I use the money that I make. And once you, so you can have just as much fun flipping houses. You can just as much fun doing that. But if you build up just 10, 20 houses at $700 a month, all of a sudden, if you have a month that you don't feel like doing anything or you want to take the family around the world, you can. And when you come back, all bills are still paid. Everything is still paid. And you can just basically come back, be rested instead of having to keep hustling.
Bingo. I love it, man. Well, listen, hey, really appreciate your time. Guys, if you enjoyed this, we're actually, Jack and I were talking before we jumped on the call here. We're actually going to do, I don't even want to call it a part two, because what we're going to focus on another podcast with Jack in the upcoming future, so keep an eye out for it, is actually tax delinquent real estate. It's going to be a little more focused on the strategy of how to go out and get properties that have, you know, that have defaulted on their taxes. That's one of the mailing lists that we target. We do deals from here in South Florida. So it's going to be a little more focused on real estate and strategy. So keep an eye out for that. And Jack, I know we'll get that scheduled here soon. But yeah, I really appreciate your time, man. And I loved having you on here.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Okay, awesome. We'll talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.